Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Cup of Arslings, a Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in Season 3, so we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, how are you on this lovely Tuesday?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I mean, you know, time doesn't mean anything anymore, but it's a nice sunny day. It's a sunny day. I think I'm going to make soup later. You know, it's a wild
good
time.
Good for you. Making soup, not from a can or like from scratch.
Absolutely not. Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue.
It's like, I know that you're dealing with like, you know, dead succulents all over
right.
the place. So you need comfort food.
Right. I'm better at other things.
You know what? It's okay. We're all discovering a lot more about ourselves in this quarantine.
That's true.
Some
that's
are good.
Very true.
Some not so great.
Right.
But I think, you know what, guys? We have it so much better than what's happening in Mercia right now. So we need to like get into it because
that's true.
You know what? They're living through a pandemic as well. And their leaders, surprisingly, are even worse than ours.
They're doing it without running water and access to a grocery store. So, you know what? It could be worse, I suppose. But yeah, Mercia is not doing well right now. They've got Athelred is, you know, super dead. And, you know, it could just be me, but I feel like parading his fancy funeral through the plague-ridden town might not be the move. That feels like they're not really reading the room right now.
Right. And also just, you know, for hygienic purposes, I don't think we need big crowds right now. Mm. You know, 6 feet, social distancing is still a thing, even in the 9th century.
Right.
So, like, on top of Athelred just being, like, a shitty dude and everyone hating him to the point of, like, you know, we're spitting in his wake. We're throwing curses willy-nilly. I mean,
right. Nobody's mourning this man.
Yeah, someone should have, like, said, hold up, is this good that we parade his dead body through the town right now? But
it felt like
no
a mistake
there.
To me. Yeah.
There's no city planning there. I don't know.
Right.
We don't have an event planner in Mercia right now. So, yeah, it's a tough, weird time. Things are very tense. You know, Edward is doing his best to kind of just ignore all of the disrespect being shown. I mean, it's if he were a mob boss and this was the 1920s Chicago, heads would be rolling. But he's Edward and he's trying to keep a semblance of normalcy and peace even when there is none. And so, yeah, I think right out of the gate, we see that Mercy is not a place you'd want to be right now.
No. And I think Edward, you know, he may be trying to keep the peace, but he's doing that in a way where he's just pretending that things aren't happening. So,
right.
That is a tenuous peace at best. So, but anyway, all the chaos, though, did, you know, sort of help Father Peerlaig sneak Uhtred, mm-hmm. Finan, Steora, and Athelstan into Aylesburg because, you know, why not bring a bastard child? Well, not really bastard child. What do we call Athelstan if he's like he was a legitimate child, but then they delegitimized the marriage and sent him away? So he's not a bastard.
He's unlucky. He is. He could have been king.
That's
and now
true.
He's just in a monk's robe, like being carted around and being told he's no one.
Well, he's going to be king someday, so it'll work out for him. But like,
hold on, Athelstan. It gets better.
But yeah, so having that chaos helped him sneak into the city, which, you know, I always love to see the Cookham crew do a sneak. Mm. So that's fun.
Do a sneak. So good at a sneak. You know what? You would think by now that they would have guards on like every door and also like every, you know, sea gate. Like,
right.
No one learns their lesson on this show.
It's remarkably easy to break into
advantage.
Yeah, it's remarkably easy to break into towns. Like, you may not need, you may not get done what you need to get done when you're there, but you can probably get in. No problem.
Yeah. If you just like wanted a beer or something, an ale at the whorehouse, like you're fine. Go ahead. So they sneak in. I think, you know, Uhtred's plan is to confront Edward and to kind of reveal, you know, everything that happened with Erdwulf, because that was a huge deal, finding out that he killed Ethelred. But before he can do that, the Eldermen have called a Witten. They didn't invite Edward.
No.
So he decides to crash the party. It's like, Edward is like the guy you put up with because he's got the fake ID and he can get your friends alcohol, but you don't actually want to hang with him, you know? Like,
you know, I got
like,
real.
Yeah, you're here helping us, but come don't come to our party.
Right. I got real Michael Scott showing up uninvited at Jim's party energy from this moment with Edward. But yeah, he, you know,
except
he
there's no karaoke to save,
right,
like
it's
save
just,
the mood.
It's just angry men arguing with each other. No fun at all. But yeah, so, you know, the Eldermen are talking and they're really, you know, there's the one guy, Burgred, who is making things real messy. Like he wants Edward out. He wants to rule. He wants his son to rule. Then you've got Ludicon on the other side and he's like, listen, like, we really kind of need Wessex right now. Things are not going great for us, and it would be helpful for us to strengthen our allies. And, you know, he's kind of caping for Edward even when he's not there, until he is there, and he looks pretty good. But there's so much discord between the Mercian lords, and, I mean, it happened really quickly. So, you know, it really shows you that Athelred was not running a tight ship before this.
No, and I mean, it also, it doesn't help that they literally, you know, saw all of their family and friends slaughtered just a few days ago. You know what I mean?
Tempers are running high.
All of that is still very fresh. Yeah, and so Edward is trying to kind of manage their anxieties and their concerns. He's trying to kind of claim, like, he sent Erdwulf away. Aelfwyn is totally fine. You know, they're going to travel when it's safe. Like, he's got everything under control, basically.
Such a liar.
Yeah, and Burgred kind of calls him out on his bullshit. And, you know, this is exactly the reason that they didn't want Edward at the Witten, because as soon as, you know, something is said against him, his guards are like, wait, what? And they start to, like, pull their swords. And it's like, dude, this is why you can't be here. Like, we can't talk freely.
Speak freely, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just a mess. And I think, you know, Uhtred decides to use this moment to kind of step up and be like, hey, remember me. I spilled blood at Tettenhall for you. Let me talk.
I love that he just like strolls in and is like, what's up, guys? I know I've been on the run for a while, but I'm here to fix everything. Listen to me. And I'm like, Uhtred, I love you.
The best. Does he have a plan? We will never know.
Right. But yeah, it usually works out.
It usually does. He's pretty... When he's not smart, he's pretty lucky. So, yeah, he kind of, you know, he's there to expose the truth about Erdwulf and to let these Eldermen know what's really going on. I mean, first, you know, Edward's Witten invite gets lost in the mail. Now his bestie is being called a Kingslayer. Mm. It's just, like, not a good day. And he reacts pretty poorly to the news. And, of course, you know, Uhtred's there, so... That's who he's going to blame for it.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to kind of see if there's so much deja vu in this episode with these interactions between Edward and Uhtred, because there is so many callbacks to Alfred and Uhtred's relationship.
Yeah.
And it's different. I mean, things are different, but there's still those ties that I feel like, you know, Edward's not an Alfred, obviously, but there's still some, like, contention in that relationship that kind of fills the void. And we see a lot of that this episode.
Sure. I think, you know, the dynamic is pretty similar, but at the same time, Edward is so young and he's not his dad. He doesn't have the, you know, intelligence and cunning that his dad had at this point. So it's, you know, when you saw... Alfred and Uhtred kind of duking it out like this, it always felt like it was, you know, a meeting of relative equals. Like, they may not have had the same skills, but they had their own skills that they're bringing to the table. Where with Edward, it still feels like he's extremely young and extremely unsuited for all of the positions that he's been put into. And so it feels more like a child and a man interacting instead of two accomplished men who couldn't understand each other.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think one of the ways that Edward tries to kind of make up for this imbalance of powers to kind of, you know, throw his weight around as king, Uhtred refuses to tell Edward where Aelfwyn is. He is like, well, cool, then I'm going to throw you in prison.
Right.
He's kind of losing allies left and right, and he makes the decision to, you know, he's having that conversation with Æthelhelm, and he's like, you know, maybe instead of seeking to make an alliance with these guys, you know, we should try and break the Eldermen. And so it's like, things are like, they started out tense, but when you talk about like trying to come between the ruling body of like your ally, it's like, okay, now we're just really wanting to like have a war and to kill people, because I just don't see it ending well for Edward. Not good. Also not good. What's happening in the Wereforest?
Yeah, it's, you know, they left Osferth and Edith behind to care for Aelfwyn because she was rather ill. But they don't really know what's wrong with her. Like, they can't quite tell if it's the sickness that she's got, or is it just, you know,
what is wrong with her?
What is wrong with Aelfwyn? Like, I don't think she's just tired, but like, you know, getting taken from your home and being on the run and outside all the time when you're used to living a relatively, you know, privileged existence as the daughter of Æthelflaed. So, but she's not doing well, like really poorly. And so Osferth and Edith are caring for her, and they kind of have a conflict about whether or not to give her wormwood, which I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is and why it was so controversial?
I don't. I just assumed it was one of those, you know how they used to put leeches on you to like suck out the bad or whatever?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, that's not good if someone's sick to put leeches on them. I figured wormwood was like 9th century leeches. Like everyone thought, oh, that's going to like purge you of the sickness. Maybe it's some kind of like almost poison. But yeah,
gotcha.
I have no clue.
Yeah, Osferth was extremely against it.
I'm going to assume it's, like,
it.
Not good.
Yeah. So Edith said, you know what? We're going to try it. She cannot die on my watch. So they have that conflict.
And that's true. She's not wrong. Like, Edith will be the one who's blamed for that death. She calls that correctly. And I think Osferth can't understand that because he's never been in the position that she's in. Caring for a kid as important as Aelfwyn, like, in the middle of an outbreak, it's a lot of work for little reward. And she's just doing the best she can. She drinks the wormwood. So, like, chill out, Osferth.
Right. She's not going to give her something she wouldn't give to herself.
Right.
But, yeah, but, you know, Aelfwyn doesn't exactly get better. So they, you know, they have to make the decision to take her back to Aelsberg and peace out from their campsite.
Yeah, they need a real healer, not this like crone in the woods who's like, yeah, drink this wood juice.
Love a good crone moment. It's the best.
I would be that crone in the woods. But yeah, so they, you know, Edith finally kind of strong arms Osferth into taking her back to Aelsberg. And while all this is going on, Sitric and young Uhtred managed to track down Æthelflaed. They let her know that Aelfwyn is not doing well. She's obviously like, please take me to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've got like some Witcher vibes because she literally just misses them. And not only that, she misses them. And this old crone in the woods is like, yes, you know,
she's dead as hell.
They took her back to Mercia.
Right.
And yeah. She's gone.
They took her body back to Mercia. Like, yeah. Like the way she phrased that, of course she thought that Aelfwyn was dead. Like, geez, someone teach that crone some bedside manner. Come on.
Right? Or like, to not assume. Just because you saw a child's body being carted off doesn't mean that she's, like, necessarily dead.
Just tell her where they went. Don't describe a body.
She, she gave them the wormwood, so maybe she knew that wormwood was going to kill her. I don't know. But yeah, Ethelflaed is devastated, obviously, and so her decision is to also head back to Aelsberg to be with her daughter's body and to give her the last rites, and it's pretty terrible. I mean, at this point, we don't know. We know that Aelfwyn is alive. She's not dead like Ethelflaed thinks, but we don't know if she's going to be alive by the time they get to Aelsberg. We don't know if she's going to be alive by the time Ethelflaed gets to Aelsberg. It's all very up in the air. And so it's, you know, it makes that kind of reaction that Ethelflaed has even more devastating, because she could be dead. Like, she could be dead by the time her mom gets to her. And that's
It's Schrodinger's Aelfwyn. You know, if you open the box, will she be alive inside of it? But yeah, it's a lot of stress to put on Ethelflaed when she's already dealing with a lot, like loss of kingdom, loss of, you know, horrible husband, but it still puts her in a precarious position. And now she thinks she lost her child. So that is a lot to put on one, on one person.
It would cause any woman to snap.
She's handling it better than I would. So, but yeah, so, and in Mercia, things are still really bad. Like, Edward's doing a terrible job distributing grain, and Birgrid is like ready to fight. And, you know, it gets really tense. And then Edward like reveals that he basically took Birgrid's son away to raise him as a monk so that he couldn't be set up as an opposer here, which is a super shady move, but I also kind of respected it. Like, I didn't respect it, but like, that's one way to get rid of a problem. Send him to church school. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, it gets rid of two problems, because it gets rid of the kid who was someone that the Elderman could rally around to be their next leader. And then it also kind of shuts Borgrid up, because he doesn't have control of his son anymore.
Right.
I mean, anything could happen to his son. And so if he you know, steps out of line, like, it's going to reflect, you know, badly on his family. And, it's not, like, the coolest, like, cool dude move, you know what I mean? Like, cool, if he wants to be friends with these guys. But it's brilliant. Like, it's something Alfred would do. And I, like, saw glimpses of Alfred and Edward this episode, and it warmed my heart, even when he was stealing children in the night.
It's like ruthlessness draped in ruthlessness draped in piety at this point. You know what I mean?
I used to hate it, but I kind of like it now.
I know. You're like, well, you know, it worked out pretty well for Alfred. So, yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, like you said, like, Edward doesn't really have a lot of control right now. It's a lot of semblance of control. And you can really see that in how Æthelhelm, you know, is sort of doing whatever he wants. Like, he, you know, Edward had Uhtred, you know, thrown in jail, but Æthelhelm took that as, and also we're going to beat the ever-loving shit out of him to try and get this information. It's like, it's rough. Uhtred, like, they really seem to focus on beating him around the face. And so he gets, like, when we sort of revisit him after the torture, and his face is so swollen and brutalized, it's really awful.
Like, I have no complaints about seeing Uhtred kind of strung up and shirtless.
All right.
But what they did to his face, y'all, no. That is unacceptable.
Yeah.
No, I think it's so, if Æthelhelm knew Uhtred, he would know that torture is not going to do anything. I mean, he's not going to give up where Aelfwyn is. I think it's very bold of him. You know, Æthelhelm can kind of get away with locking up Aelsberg with, because it's like, oh, miscommunication, you know, I didn't say that either. Like, there's ways to kind of hide behind that decision. You can't hide behind what you've just done to this dude's face. Like, it's clear that you are, you know, taking this power that Edward has given you and really abusing it. I don't understand what he thought would happen. Like, did he think he was going to get the information? Did he think that Edward wasn't going to find out and be upset that he, like, you know, carried out this torture without his permission? Like,
I think he thought he was going to get the information. I think he sort of sees Uhtred, as so many people have seen Uhtred, as kind of this, you know, out for himself barbarian, which just isn't true. So I think Aethelhelm did think that he was going to get the information that he needed, but he didn't because Uhtred is the best. Yeah. And, you know, I think Aelswyth, you know, comes to talk to Edward and he won't tell her anything. Like, he is like, you know, he may have not wanted her to be put under house arrest, but he certainly doesn't want to bring her into his confidence. And so, you know, she tries to tell him, like, look, like, if you try to force Mercia into Wessex, that's not going to go well for you. You need to handle this and you need to build an alliance, not sort of subsume another nation. But yeah, it's
wise words.
Right. I mean, Aelswyth knows what she's talking about. But yeah, Edward goes to see Uhtred and he's kind of shocked at, you know, what happened to him. And, you know, he's very insistent that he did not order the beating and he did not order this to happen. And Uhtred is like, dude, that's not good either. Like, if you have Aethelhelm sort of doing these things for him and going against his wishes, like, it does not make you look better to say, I didn't order this. You know what I mean? It makes you look weak as hell.
Yeah. And, you know, they have this kind of heart to heart and Edward is just like, why are you doing this? Like, why do you care? And Uhtred's like, I'm fighting for my deep love of Mercy in politics, which is just like
great.
Even now with his with his face like smashed up, it's like I still love his sass. But I think it's really interesting because this relationship again, like it does have callbacks to Uhtred and Alfred, but Edward is so young and he's grown up worshiping Uhtred. I mean, this is someone that taught him how to fight. This is someone that's been in his life since he was a kid. And they had a good bond like developing before he became king. And so it's like that also adds another level to their interactions. And even when he's envious of Uhtred, it doesn't feel as like as aggressive or as like, you know, malicious as how Alfred was envious of Uhtred, if that makes sense. Like, I think Edward can still see Uhtred's use and his ability to unite people. And I think there's also that kind of element of like, you know, I did love you and you were like, you know, family to me. And so, yeah, it makes this whole kind of scene that they have after Uhtred's tortured really kind of moving, I think. Like, I kind of came around to Edward a little bit in this moment.
I wouldn't necessarily say that I came around to Edward, but I definitely understood him a little bit more. Like, he talked about, you know, living in his father's shadow, which would be hard. You know, that's something that Edward or that Alfred didn't have to deal with. He didn't have to deal with being the son of Alfred and living in his shadow. And I think, you know, I think Edward is bitter about that lack of agency, but also I think he's a little bit ashamed of his behavior, you know, when he talks about, you know, maybe I should be unifying them myself instead of making a child do it for me. Like, that's some important self-reflection. We'll see how well he follows through with that. But I think this conversation with Uhtred and, you know, sort of realizing that he needs to take responsibility instead of letting, you know, Aelfwyn be a bargaining chip and Aethelhelm do his dirty work. Like, he needs to be a king and he needs to handle it himself.
And he does. He starts like making moves. He has that moment where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to use my niece to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a man. He also kind of finally hands Aethelhelm his ass a little bit. He calls him out on the orders he's carried out and decides to send him back to Winchester, which, like, I personally would have sent his head to the chopping block. Like, I think that sending him back to the seat of power so he can just kind of gain more allies and more power is not smart. But
that's
this point,
not
going like,
to go well.
Yeah, I think at this point there's more pressing issues of, like, you know, Mercy and succession and all of the stuff that's happening. So Edward doesn't really take the time to... I think he sees Aethelhelm as just someone who's overstepped, not someone who's scheming to, like, really have and keep that kind of power. And so, I don't think that's the right move. I think it's going to come back to bite him in the ass, but at least we kind of get Aethelhelm out of there for a little bit.
Yeah. Edward, he also, you know, he frees Uhtred and he tells him to keep Aelfwyn and Aethelflaed safe because he does kind of figure out that, like, something is going on with Uhtred and Aethelflaed, and he knows that Uhtred loves her. So he's going to, use that affection to his advantage in order to keep Aelfwen and Athelflaed safe until the conflict passes. So yeah, Uhtred's free. He and Finn reunite, and I really loved that scene.
I know.
It's just, they're such a team, man. Like, they're all a team with the Uhtred, Finn, and Bond. Just like, I mean, they were on those slave ships together, man. They just, I don't know.
You Finn don't mess up his face.
You don't. Finn like, is ready to fight whoever did that to his buddy. So it was so good.
It's sweet. And, you know, it seems like Uhtred kind of gets his get out of jail free card, and he's going to get his daughter and Finnan and Ethelstan, and they're going to get out of Mercia while they can. Mm-hmm. Of course, Steora is Steora, and she's
putting herself
like right in the middle of the action, and she's helping Father Pyrlic kind of hand out this grain, and it gets pretty brutal. People are fighting each other, and
writing over toilet paper, you know, that's how it goes.
It's, yeah, very relatable. And Uhtred kind of steps in and takes control of the situation as like, look, like you can't be like squabbling amongst yourselves right now. Like you need to band together. And people seem to respect him. Of course, Edward witnesses this whole thing and you think, shit, he's going to toss him right back in the cell. Like,
well, if Aelswyth
is not good.
Listen, if Aelswyth had had her way, Uhtred would have been tossed back in the cell, because as much as I have enjoyed seeing how she's grown this season, she still hates Uhtred more than anything. So she
they're not going to be buddies anytime soon.
No. So like she sees this, you know, this whole ordeal go down and sees Uhtred call me the crown. And she's like, listen, if they love him, he's going to turn the people against you. And that's kind of been her MO since the beginning. Never trust Uhtred, even when he's trying to do good. Yeah. And so Edward, you know, he requests that Uhtred is brought before him. And you're like, great. He's going to listen to his mom. He's going to beat the shit out of him again, throw him in jail, whatever. But, you know, Uhtred is, you know, he's brought before him. And Edward is mad at Uhtred for interfering. But he also saw his value. And he decides that he wants to make Uhtred the lord and protector of Mercia until, you know, his children are old enough to rule. He wants Uhtred to take that position, which is, that's a pretty crazy move.
Yeah, I mean, it's bold. I think it's almost like Edward seeing like an easy way out, because, you know, there's no one suitable to marry his niece. All of the eldermen are against him at this point, and they're also like really old. It's like, you know, how long would they last?
Not a lot of options.
Yeah, he needs someone who can command the respect of the people, who he knows has good intentions, who will take care of his sister. I mean, like, Uhtred checks all of the boxes. So it's kind of like the thing that was standing right in front of you and you finally realize, like, yeah, that's what I need to go with. I think it's a little harder for Uhtred to accept, because this is not something that he's ever, you know, imagined for himself or really wanted.
Yeah, but swearing loyalty to another Saxon king is not what he had on his agenda for his later years.
Yeah, I thought we were done with this. But, you know, love is a powerful thing. And like this checks all of his boxes, too, because his kids would be safe. And secure, like, he could be with Ethelflaed, they could run things, the people would be in good hands, there would be no war.
His men would have a break.
Yeah, his men would have a break, get paid. Yeah, it's a win-win, which makes me think, like, this is
too good
not
to be true.
Gonna end well. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, and, you know, Uhtred kind of consults with Father Pyrlic, and he's like, listen, like, I am not seek this kind of power. Like, people keep trying to give me this shit. I am not looking for it. Right. And I think Pyrlic is like, listen, like, yeah, sure, but this is a great opportunity. And, you know, it looks like Uhtred's going to take it. And, you know, I think, you know, Aelswyth was so against Uhtred, but at the same time, she also sees Father Pyrlic with Athelstan, and she knows that Uhtred was so important in sort of taking him and keeping him safe. But she didn't know that Edward and Uhtred may be making a huge deal for him to run Mercia. So, shockingly, Aelswyth is not on board.
Again, I think she can see the like quick solution of it. I think there is something that she kind of picks up on, which is, you know, Uhtred is someone who people just naturally are drawn to and naturally want to follow. And it's like, yes, like this lordship of Mercy is only supposed to be for like a couple of years until a transition is smoothed out and they can kind of, you know, find out who's going to really lead. And it's supposed to be temporary. I think Aelswyth kind of sees the real possibility that people are really going to like, you know, serving Uhtred and working under Uhtred. And it might not be as temporary as Edward's thinking. I think she's always seen Uhtred's kind of mass appeal as a threat, first to Alfred's throne, and I think now to Edward's throne. And that's not something Uhtred would ever want. But again, people just keep giving him this power. And he's not going to say no, you know, all the time to it. So it's like, I don't know. I see why she would be concerned, because I think she doesn't think Edward is taking this as seriously as he should. She's also pretty upset because Edward doesn't want to like hang with his kid. And like, she's done a lot to get Æthelstan there. So
yeah,
you know, she's sort of, for Aelswyth.
Yeah, that scene was brutal because like she brought Æthelstan physically in front of his father. And for Edward to be so dismissive of that little boy, like when he's right there, like that is going to traumatize that kid for a long time. But yeah, like she begs him to acknowledge Æthelstan and give him protection. And he's like, take him back to where he was concealed. I do not have time to deal with this shit. And it was just, it was so cold and so devastating. So like, man, Æthelstan, that poor kid, he deserves better. He deserves a better dad. He deserves Finan as a dad.
He deserves Finan. Stick with Finan,
dude. He'll make boats with him and carry him on his shoulders when Edward doesn't give a shit.
That's a real father.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of where we leave things in Mercia. Æthelflaed gets back.
Uhtred accepts. He accepts the position.
Uhtred accepts, in case that was not clear.
Right. As long as I can rule as my own man, I'll do it.
Right. And Æthelflaed kind of turns up. Right as all of this is going down, of course, all she cares about is Aelfwen. And Aelswyth is there to be like, yeah, she's here, but she's not dead. And
Edith saved like, her. Oh,
great, cool. Take me to her. Edith is there. And so it's a really like nice, happy reunion. And it's so eerie. And it felt like really foreboding to see this reunion that Æthelflaed has with Aelfwen. Everyone's happy. Aelswyth is crying. It's such a good moment. And then Aelswyth kind of starts to reveal like what's happened with Uhtred, and he's going to be Lord of Mercia. And then you have Finan and Father Pyrlic
drunk
and everyone. Drunk as hell. Like, just celebrating.
I love
celebrating.
That for him. Right. They're having a great time because they think they've got their futures set.
Yeah, and Uhtred's over here kind of like, oh, I still don't know. Like, I'm having second thoughts now. And they just kind of, the show juxtaposes these two scenes, and it really, it sets up, better than any kind of exposition would, it sets up what the conflict is going to be. Because you see Æthelflaed reacting to this news not very well. Like, you can see it
not
on her
thrilled.
Face. Like, what the hell? This is not what was planned. And Uhtred's over here like, I know that this was, you know, a good choice because it helps a lot of people, but I think he also knows if there's going to be conflict with Æthelflaed.
Æthelflaed's going to hate it.
And so, that's kind of how that, you know, scene in Mercia ends, and it is.
It
gave me like chills because I just know it's not going to be good, and I just want for the rest of the season to be happy and for everyone to be drinking in Mercia and having a good time, and I know I'm not going to get that. So
I know. Yeah, and, you know, while all this stuff has been going down in Mercia, we did get some looks at what's going on in Wales, and boy howdy, is it bad. Like, you know, King Howl, he just, you know, he went off to go pray for a little while, and he left his shitty brother, I think it's his brother, in charge to, like,
it's his
run
brother.
Wales.
He went to the spa, and he left his brother in charge. Never
Which was
that.
A mistake. This guy has not been running Wales well. He's just, like, partying and peeing on Brita with his buddies, and it's just
asshole.
Awful. awful.
God, he's the worst.
He's terrible. And he sort of gets the news that, hey, so those Danes in Ireland, they're making moves to come here, like, for real, in earnest. And, yeah, they come here and they kill a lot of Welsh people. And we meet mm-hmm. Canute's cousin, Sigtryggr, who I like already. Seems like a righteous mm-hmm. dude. I'm excited to see what he does. But he's looking for Breida.
Yeah, he's a bit dirty, needs to brush the hair, but I will forgive him all of that because he gets Breida out of the pit. And it almost seems like he has come there for Breida because he tells the acting king, you know, he's like, where is Breida? I'm looking for her. And he's like, oh, I killed her. Breida, like, from her little pit,
no,
is like,
I'm not.
No, you didn't. it's the best. And, so he frees her and kind of he's Canute's cousin. Things didn't go well in Ireland, and he decided to come to Wales, and he heard about, you know, Canute's death, and Breida is pretty upfront about, like, yeah, he betrayed Ragnar and all this different stuff. And you can see, like, they're kind of, like, forming, like, a little alliance. Like, she has a lot of knowledge about how Wessex politics work. That's where he's going to get the most silver and the most goods for his men, instead of going back to Ireland. And for his part, obviously, like, he's like this young Viking warrior, so, like, all that's on your mind is, like, pillaging and kind of establishing your legacy.
Yeah, but he also is pretty angry at Breida, too, because she and Canute were supposed to go and help him in Ireland.
Sure, yeah.
And they decided not to because they had enough going on with the Saxons. So, you know, I think he and Breida sort of, you know, they find an understanding in that they're both full of rage and that, you know kind of unites them. But they do have to work through that. You know, you were supposed to come help us and you didn't.
Yeah, but dude, like, you're Canute's cousin, not mine.
Right, I mean, right. Like, don't
he's the one who
that.
Decided not to go.
Right. And I also thought it was really interesting that he sort of tested her in the beginning to make sure that she was Breida. Be like, all right, so she's super pregnant, pulled out of this pit. Does she still have that classic Breida anger in her where she's down to torture the guy that tortured her even though she's in a weakened state? You bet she is. And he's like, oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah, that's Breida. That's Breida. That's the she-wolf we were looking for. I think
it's also important because, like, we were also wondering that. I mean, what does, like, you know, the time in the pit, like, do to you? You know what I mean? She's been tortured and humiliated. And, it was really nice, I think, to see that she still had that in her. I don't like that who she's directing it towards now, though.
Right. Less nice is her decision to go and kill Uhtred the Daneslayer. That's a bit of a bummer. But at this point, like, I can't really blame her. Like,
no.
I would have been pissed at Uhtred, too, if he had let me be taken as a slave instead of doing what I wanted. But, you know.
I knew it was going to come back to, like, bite him in the ass. I know.
I don't like anybody coming after Uhtred, but even if it's Breida, that's sad.
I know. It's going to be so hard because I think we're going to, like, pit these two against each other. And it's like, whose side do you choose? Because they've each wronged each
Uhtred.
Other in many ways. Okay, yeah. Alyssa. Well,
sorry.
That was very quick.
I didn't think about that.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it looks like we will also have some conflict this season, Alyssa.
I welcome it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, guys, it's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied.
Well,
Alyssa?
Okay, so I'm not sure about wishes, but I do think we're going to get, you know, some major conflict in a previously unlikely place, which is Uhtred and Æthelflaed. You know, Uhtred is, you know, he's clearly super torn about accepting Edward's gift of Mercia. You know, despite having the futures of his men and his children set now, like, this guy's got a storm cloud on his brow. He's got a lot on his mind. He's not, like, super pumped about this gift that he's been given. And that's because he knows that Æthelflaed is going to feel betrayed. And she is feeling betrayed. Like, you saw her face at the end of the episode. She is going to see this as him grabbing power away from her, and she is not having it. So this is going to be interesting, but, like, devastating to see play out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to kind of pinpoint what I want to see happen next episode because there are so many balls in the air, and it's just too soon to see when they're going to land. And I guess, like, that's, you know, well done, the show, because that's a great move on the writer's part. But I think you're right. This whole thing happening in Mercia, it's going to cause conflict, maybe more conflict than we're expecting. And I just hope the show can handle it in a way that doesn't frame Æthelflaed as the bad guy, because she's right to be upset at this move. I think let her be upset. Like, this is everything she's worked for, and it's kind of being just given to, even though, you know, Uhtred is someone she loves and trusts and knows is a good person, it's being given to a man. Like, of course that's going to upset you. So
yeah, I'd be frustrated if I were her too. The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. So, Jessica, who was your arsling in this episode?
Well, in the spirit of your naming Osferth as last episode's arsling, I'm going to shout out another pious badass, Father Peerlig. He's
crushing it,
doing the work all season, helping Aelswyth recruit the Welsh. He's been fighting the Danes. He's been feeding the hungry in Mercia, traveling the country on foot. Like, and now he's helping, you know, Uhtred, and he's sneaking the king's bastard into Aelsburg. And, you know, I think all of this bravado might catch up to him one day, but I hope it's not this season, because he's really filling a Bielka-sized hole in my heart.
Agreed. Like, Father Peerlig is and always will be a real one. So, since you praised the best priest around, I'll go ahead and give it to Edith. I loved seeing her bond with Aelfwyn, and she's really going out on a limb to make sure that this girl makes it. Like, I think she sees this as sort of a penance for everything that went down with her brother and for Æthelred. But, you know, whatever her motivation, I'm glad she's there and giving a shit, because she is the reason why Aelfwyn saw the end of this episode, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That kid owes her her life, for sure. All right, guys, get ready to shame on the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane. Anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, I mean, again, so many choices.
I'm going with Edward. Like, yes, he had that great, you know, scene with Uhtred, but he's letting a lot of things happen that he, quote unquote, didn't order. And while he's making the short-term savvy choice of, like, sending Æthelhelm away for overstepping, like, you know, ultimately that is not going to go well. Like, ultimately Æthelhelm is going to be even more of an issue. And the coldness with which he treated sweet little Æthelstan, to me, that was pretty unforgivable. So also his complete lack of regard for his sister's influence in Mercia is absolutely infuriating. Like, I don't even think it crossed his mind to have Æthelflaed run things in Mercia while they figure out what they're going to do. Like, not even crossing his mind. So, Edward, you made a couple steps forward, but a couple steps back, as is your way. So, Edward, turd of the episode.
Very true. So, since the Welsh got theirs last episode, or this episode, I'd like for karma to strike the Ealdormen of Mercia next.
Sure.
I think, you know, they're hoarding food from their own people in the middle of a pandemic and squabbling over who deserves more power.
Such Karen move.
And that hits, it hits a little too close to home right now. So I'd like to see each of them suffer in distinctly terrible ways. And if Æthelflaed is the one kind of wielding that suffering, so much the better.
I just want Aethelflaed to just get what she deserves, which
I just want her to torture some guys that deserve it, damn it.
Now, no character is safe on The Last Kingdom, but some seem to be flirting with death more than others. Ninth century life is fleeting and barbaric, but that doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it. Get ready to place your bets on who's headed to Valhalla soon, because this is the Viking death pool. This one, nobody's really clearly on their outs in this one, I don't think.
Yeah, right? Like, no one feels like a front runner this week, which really terrifies me because it means we're probably going to lose someone important soon. And I think, for me, I think if the axe is swinging close to anyone's head right now, it's Edwards, just because he's starting to make better choices, so he's trying, which is never a good thing for a character on this show. But I think after, like, an entire season of shitty ones, he's on a lot of people's hit lists. So maybe his growth is too little too late? I don't know.
Well, historically, Edward's got about a decade left. So he's gonna be around for a little bit. But you're definitely right. Like, there's kind of an eerie calm at the end of this episode. Like, yes, a lot of things are happening, but also some things are settling into place. But, you know, between the Mercian power struggle and whatever is going on with the Danes, like, death is coming. Plus, they've got to find and kill Eardwulf sometime soon, right? Like, he can't just run around for a while.
Yeah, he can't just traipse across the country, like, not answering for his crime.
Right.
Yeah, maybe Eardwulf is here. Next.
I think he's not going to see the end of the season. But I'm feeling much better about Brita, because we were worried about her last week. But now that she's sort of, you know, found her Danish compatriots, I think she's in a much better place than she's been in a while.
So. Yeah, I mean, if we should be worried about anyone, it would be Uhtred, because Brita is out for blood.
Brita is out for blood. Like, if it wasn't his show, I'd be like, ooh, Uhtred, you might want to lay low for a while, because Brita is coming for you with a knife.
All right, now this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2020, the world is on fire, honestly, we deserve this. So this is the time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Alyssa, go first.
Listen, I can't lie. I am really enjoying Finnan's commitment to the Suns Out, Guns Out aesthetic this season. Like,
yes.
He's chosen that look. He isn't deviating for anybody or any plague. And I respect that choice. Like, you've done
the
work.
Gotta get that tan.
You've done the work. And
bronze
you don't
want it up.
Right. You don't want a farmer's tan. Like, you know, you're going to get some even coverage. And, you know, if he's already Irish, so he's dealing with that pale skin. So he's doing the best he can to get an even tan. And good for you.
I respect it. You know what I mean? It's hard for us fair-skinned folk out there.
It is.
To burn, like, with just 2 minutes in the sun.
Right.
As much as I liked seeing Uhtred shirtless this episode, it wasn't in a good context.
No, kind of ruined it.
Weirdly enough, I think it's his reunion with Finnan and Finnan's promise to kill the man who did this that kind of induced the most thirst this episode for me.
Loyalty is sexy. I get it.
Right? Yeah, it's a little... Yeah. There was something there. And I know that these two are just really good bros. But I would be lying if I said I haven't searched for some fan fiction that said otherwise.
What would their ship name be?
Oh, my gosh. What would their ship?
My first thought is Futrid, and that sucks. So I hope we can come up with a better one.
We'll have to like, really do some thinking. Guys, if you have any, like, suggestions, please let us know. What the ship name for Uhtred and Finnan would be.
Even if it's just a bro ship.
Yeah, it's a bro ship. Like, it's fine.
It's a bro ship. Right.
Every bro ship needs a name to sail.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, since we recorded our previous seasons, the world has changed a little bit. Life has ground to a halt, and we're just doing our best not to lose our minds in quarantine. So goodbye, Geek Out, and welcome to Self-Care Corner, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and doing to stave off the seemingly endless alone time. So what you got? How are you staying emotionally healthy while you're staying home?
Okay, guys. Naps. Mm. I cannot overstate the importance of a nap during a pandemic.
Yeah.
It's at first. Okay, here's the thing about naps. And I know it's like, it's just a nap, whatever.
It's not just a nap.
Yes, it is a big deal. it's not just a nap, okay? It's you recharging your mind and your body. Also, I think there's this thing, especially with people working from home, where it's like, you know, you work even harder when you work from home because there's no one there to kind of come by your cubicle and like have a conversation or to be like, let's go out to lunch, you know? So your routine like really gets screwed up when you're working from home if you're used to working in an office. And it almost can make you feel guilty about taking those breaks. And so whether you realize it or not, you're working harder at home and you deserve a nap. And, you know, it can be like a 30-minute power nap. It can be like a 2-hour nap. Like when you work from home, it's about the work that you get done, right, not like how long you're working.
That's true.
So keep that in mind. If you're feeling tired in the afternoon, go take a nap. Go sit outside in a rocking chair. Just take breaks is what I'm saying. Because I am right now working from home. I always work from home.
Right,
me
too.
My roommate is working from home for the first time. And yeah, just it's been a journey for her. And I've tried to help her be like, you don't have to do everything all day, every day. Like, mm-hmm. You set your own schedule, like, you know, look out for yourself. So, again, naps, they're not just for babies.
There you go. I will have to incorporate more naps into my routine because that just sounds great.
Right.
For me, I planted my community garden bed over the weekend.
I saw your Insta. Yes. I was so proud.
I signed up to do that before, like, everything went down. So I feel like, yes, I am, you know, a millennial cliche planting my vegetables in the middle of a pandemic.
Come
but
on.
I planned on doing it beforehand. But anyway, you know, it was really nice. It was nice to like work in the dirt and be outside. And I was there on a Sunday, so there was like nobody there. So I don't know what it's going to be like going forward with like maintenance and everything. But like it was just me and the plants and it was so relaxing. And I felt like it was the only time I had felt at peace, like not in my apartment. Which like, okay, I went to Home Depot ahead of like going to the garden. And I'm so glad that I signed up for curbside service because people were running around. There were so many people there and most of them weren't wearing masks. And I was like, I'm not getting out of my car. I don't understand why people aren't taking this seriously. But like, yikes, South Carolina, please wear your masks, please.
Same thing here, North Carolina, especially anyone who goes to a Lowe's or to a Home Depot, it seems, I guess, maybe because they're out in the garden section, they think, oh, I'm outside and I don't, but no, you need a mask
right,
with that many people. And yeah, I totally agree about that. But I will say, I think too, like gardening, it gives you something to like look forward to because
yes, you
go check on them we check on ours every day just because they're like on our back patio, but like you'll go and check on them and make sure they're growing. And it's like something that you're actively like participating in.
Yeah, I'm going to water them as soon as we're done recording. Like, go check on my little plant babies.
You're gonna go check on your babies.
I know. I have a mix of starter plants and seeds. So like some of them I know I'm not gonna see anything yet, but like, you know,
yeah.
Just go check.
The seeds are tough, but you know, if you can get those going, that's like such an accomplishment.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, I'm so excited for you on this journey.
I'm excited too. We'll see. Hopefully they won't all die. So, you know, maybe I'll get to eat my own bell peppers.
Think of those.
All right, guys. If you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.